Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 4th of June. This book came to our office probably just when it was published, and I was talking to Rhonda about it, saying, this looks really interesting, and a lot of people in the country feel the same way because it has become the number three bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. It's titled The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship. The author, who's a very well-known columnist and author, Jeffrey Zaslow, he writes for The Wall Street Journal, has written other best-selling books. He did a column on women's friendships, and as a result of the column, he got emails from women, particularly all over the country, including one from one of our guests this hour, Jenny Lichtman, who, along with a number of other girls in Ames, Iowa, have had, in many cases, lifelong friendships. And they have been together, this group of 11, who are now in their mid-40s for all of these years through some tragedies. One of the young women died when she was in her 20s through divorces, through job changes, through just really all kinds of things that happen to everybody in the course of a lifetime. And they, Jeffrey kept the email, put it in a desk drawer, decided a couple years later that maybe he would do a program or write a book on this. Not a program, he wrote a book on it. And it required a great deal of honesty on the part of all of the women who were involved in this. And the book is absolutely fascinating. It's quite a read. So we're happy to talk this hour with Jeffrey, columnist for the Wall Street Journal, author of The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship. Jenny Lichtman also joining us, and Angela Jamieson, and they are two of the women who are featured in this book. Jenny is one of the archivists of this friendship, and she is the assistant dean at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Angela is manager of a public relations firm in North Carolina, and we're happy to have all of them with us. Jeffrey, let's start with you. Hello.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, great pleasure. I thought this would be an interesting book, and holy cow, it's way up there on the New York Times bestseller list. How come that happened, do you think?
I guess it's resonating with women. They're reading about the Ames girls, and they're thinking about their own friendships, which is what we intended when we put it together, is that it would remind people of their own lives.
Right. And what was it about Jenny's particular email that got you thinking, I mean, it took a while to put this into a book, but you thought, yeah, I'm going to look at that email again a few years later and then maybe do a book on it.
I have three daughters myself, and so I'm always interested in women and their friendship and how girls turn into women and who's important in their lives. And so I guess the issue of women's friendships resonated with me. And so when I decided to do this book, I pulled out all these emails. I had about 200 or 300. Ooh. I can't find them. You know what? They're somewhere. I don't know where they are now. But and Jenny's was just, she said that Carla, one of the friends, her daughter had leukemia, and they were rallying for Carla, and I was touched by that. And she said that another of their friends of the 11 had died in her 20s, and it was mysterious how she died, and that interested me. And then she said they love each other and they're there for each other and they can't stop laughing, and I liked that they were in their mid-40s and from the middle of the country, and I called Jenny first and then everybody else one by one.
Mm-hmm. Jenny and Angela, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hello, thank you.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm trying to, Jenny, talk to me for a minute so I get everybody's voices down here.
This is Jenny.
All right, Jenny. And Angela?
This is Angela.
That's it. There is Angela.
And I'm Jeff.
The easy one.
Jenny, what, you read the column that Jeffrey wrote, and what made you decide that you wanted to highlight your friendship? It is an extraordinary story. You people have been friends for years and years.
Forever and ever. As long as I can remember, they've been my friends. Well, it was really an article that Jeff had written about a group of women who were celebrating their 40th birthdays together, and they'd been friends since college. And I thought, oh, well, that's great, but, you know, I can do one better. We've been friends much longer. And, you know, my email to him was certainly, I had no intention of having my email turn into something more.
No, I'm sure.
An email just to tell Jeff that I really enjoyed reading his column, and what he wrote about these girls made me think so much of my own girlfriends. And truly, that's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he wrote a response back to me saying, it was good to hear from you. And, you know, if ever I plan to do anything else with friendship, women's friendship, I'll get back in touch. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Sure, you say that to all the girls, right? And then 3 years later, it's funny. I was looking through my file. I had clipped Jeff's article and sent it to all my girlfriends with a little note saying, this art column made me think of you. Yeah. And I filed the column with my email to Jeff and Jeff's response back to me in a folder in my desk at home and forgot about it. 3 years later, on a Sunday night, I was cleaning out my files and I came across it. And I thought, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Literally the very next morning,
oh, no.
I go to my office.
Oh, no.
And there's an email from Jeff. After 3 years, saying, you know, I think I might do something with this. Would you like to, you know, talk about it? And, I mean, you know, that's serendipity. That's kismet, you know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, Angela, it required a great deal of openness. Did everybody in the group kind of agonize about whether or not to open your lives for a book?
We did. We agreed from the very beginning that we would not, we all had to be together on this, and if there was something someone didn't like, then we would consider not doing it. We also said all along, oh, this may not turn into anything. So it was all very interesting to, you know, go through the whole process and to see that it has turned into a best-selling book. But there were bumps along the way, and, you know, the great thing about our friendship is we get over things like that, and the book probably brought us much closer together, and it gave us a lot of things to email and talk about each other,
right?
Talk to each other about.
It almost fell apart last summer, Kathleen, because it was hard. I showed them an early draft, and there was nervousness, you know, from some of them, and which I understood, but it was really very hard. I mean, it was harder than I thought it would be, just getting to the end, and I'm sort of grateful that they. You know, individually and collectively, they saw it through to the end.
And it almost fell apart over what, Jeffrey?
Well, none of us had done this before. So Jenny was great. She gave me a lot of letters that were written to her. You know, they were Jenny's letters, but they were written by all the other girls. And Marilyn, another one of the girls, she gave me her journals and diaries going back to middle school. And so I learned things about all of them that they didn't tell me. And so I knew a lot of things. And then there were some things that they did tell me. And then when I put it in the book, in the first draft, they were like, oh, my gosh, I don't think I want this book. So we had to decide what works and what doesn't and what is. And I've always, as a journalist, I've never wanted to hurt anybody. That's sort of since my early years, I made a vow to myself like that, but you know what hurts somebody and what doesn't, and it was a tough dance, but we made it through.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone has different comfort levels, and clearly there are, you know, four main characters in the book who are much more comfortable putting their thoughts and their feelings and their life stories out there than some of the others. So I just think we had different zones of privacy that we had to make sure that we were all comfortable with.
Right. What about this idea that I think you have cited studies on this, Jeffrey, that if you are friends when you're 40 years old, you got it for a lifetime.
Pretty much, yeah. The studies show, I think it was about 85% of women at age 50 when they were asked to name their best friends, and then they were asked again at age 85. About 85% of it was the same exact list. So once you're in middle age and you have your friends, you stick with them. And also, the studies show you're healthier and you're happier. So, and they even have found a study that said that you're better off having close friends in old age than 6 or 7 grandchildren, and especially for women.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing to me, Jenny, that there are so many of you. Many have a group, but it's usually much smaller. This is a large group of people to be in very close contact with, sharing so much of your lives for so many years.
It is. It really is. And the funny thing was, until we started on this project with Jeff, I think to a one, we all did not realize what a treasure that we had. We kind of assumed, because we didn't really spend much time thinking about it, we assumed everyone had these big groups of friends. And we know that that's not the case. You know, we have kind of laughed and talked about whether if we all still lived in the same town, would we still be friends? You know, we have the fact that we don't all see each other all the time. We get together in smaller groups throughout the year, and we all get together as a whole group once a year. But we are in constant contact by email and by phone. But, yeah, it is a big group, but it just, I guess we've been doing it so long, it just seems natural.
Mm-hmm. Angela, do you think that there's a substantial difference, and I want everybody to respond to this, between female friendships and male friendships? Is there something males can learn about the intimate nature of your group?
I think we are different. Jeff talks about this in the book as well, that, you know, women are, their relationships are face-to-face, and men are more side-by-side doing things. Jeff talks about a poker group that he's in. He plays poker every week, but he's been on a busy schedule with all these popular books he has, so I wonder if that's still true, Jeff.
My poker night is tonight, and I'm not going because I'm busy working.
But, you know, so he said that, you know, he's been with these guys for a long time and that they talk about the cards. They don't talk about, you know, their relationships and all those types of things. So I do think that it is different, and I think what we've learned through all this that we probably have a pretty unique friendship, too, as you mentioned, that there's so many of us. And I think another thing that helps is we don't hold grudges. We, you know, of course we've had challenges and there's been disagreements, but none of us hold a grudge about that. If we did, we wouldn't have been together for all these years. So.
I think that's something we learned from men, because men don't hold grudges.
Right, yeah, I was just thinking that, Angela.
Exactly.
I'm saying women don't have I don't know about that.
Relationships may be different, but, you know, I mean, we've heard from some men who have read this book, and they've got lifelong friends as well. So it probably just depends on the group and the friends that you have.
The research, Kathleen, for sure shows that women have more emotional friendships. That and, you know, just because they're more emotional, they can be stronger. But I did a piece for the Wall Street Journal about the book, and I heard from a lot of men. There's a lot of male readers of the Wall Street Journal, and they were saying, I have close friends, and how dare you say that women have better friends. So, you know, there are outliers out there among men who do it right. I'm not one of them. I do not have close male friendships where I talk about everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another book for you.
Yeah. Well, no, there's not. I wouldn't do that book because, you know what? Men wouldn't want to buy that book.
Really?
No publisher. No, men wouldn't read a book about male friendship, and no publisher would want it. And it wouldn't be on the bestseller list. Maybe you'd have this on the show, maybe, but I don't know.
Well, if you sold it as men are going to live longer if they have really close friends, here's how you get them, da-da-da-da, maybe they would buy that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jenny, did you choose each other as friends, or was it happenstance?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to or which friends we're talking about. For just speaking only for myself, Carla and I have been friends since infants. We don't even remember meeting. Karen and I have been in school together since kindergarten. And then, you know, we all kind of went to junior high and picked and chose, and some friends dropped off and, you know, other ones joined in. So, yeah, I think to some extent we did choose each other, and then others came because of a friendship. You'll read in the book that Sally and Sheila and Kathy were friends because they went to elementary school. So when I became friends with Sheila, Kathy and Sally, you know, kind of were buy one, get two free. And Angela and I chose each other in high school because she was Bendorf and I was Benson, and we sat behind each other in English and geometry. So in some cases, I think it was just natural, and others we chose each other, and others we just kind of fell together.
Mm-hmm. And what about other people in the community? Did they observe you as a clique, as a group of sort of stuck-up girls who wouldn't – did you feel – did they say you were exclusionary or not?
Angela, you want that one or you want me to?
I think that we were typical teenage girls. Individually, we may have said or done something that, you know, may have made it look like we were a clique. But, you know, I don't think we tried to be a clique, but we may have looked like one. And I don't think we ever intentionally set out to, you know, be better than anyone or anything like that. But you'll find people from our high school that say they were a clique.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we also had, you know, Jane and I were in basketball, the two shortest women in the group. You know, Marilyn had some different groups. Jenny was in some different things. So it's not like we did everything every minute of the day together. But sometimes we dressed the same and we hung out a lot, so we probably, in a sense, looked like a clique.
Yeah.
But I will say, Kathleen, too, you know, it wasn't I don't know if Jeff brought this up or another interviewer brought it up. You know, it's not like other girls wanted to be one of us and we excluded them. To our knowledge, nobody wanted to join us. you know, we were pretty happy just being our own little group, and I think everyone else was happy with theirs. So nobody, you know, tried to get in, and we closed the door to them. So
There seems to be, and I'm wondering if this is a generational difference or what. I have all boys in my family, so I haven't been on a day-to-day basis in raising young girls. But I hear from friends of mine who are raising girls that there's sort of a meanness that may be going on, particularly in high school years among girls. The description of your lives together doesn't seem to have that, even though you made out with the same guy and you didn't know that was happening. But there seems to be a kindness toward each other. And I'm wondering if something has changed.
You missed a chapter there, Kathleen.
Did I?
Yeah, sure. There was a chapter involving Sally where some of the girls told her they didn't necessarily think she belonged in the group. And so she, you know, it was a tough thing. And even years later, they still feel bad about it and have apologized. And Sally says she has forgiven everybody. It's 30-some years ago. She said it's 30 years, 6 months, and 2 weeks ago. So not to keep counting.
Now that she remembers, I did miss that chapter then. And who is Sally?
Well, Sally's now a teacher in, still in Iowa. She's the only one left in Iowa. She's terrific. And you know, it's just, I mean, Jenny or Angela can speak to this, but it's typical girl stuff. You know, none of us are perfect all the way back in our lives. But I think that, well, I should let them speak about it. But
okay.
I think they learned, you know, they learned from that incident.
Okay.
Well, I do think to some extent, though, you hear a lot more now about the whole Mean Girls thing, and maybe that's because there was a movie out called Mean Girls. And, you know, we were from a small town in the Midwest, and, you know, we weren't urban, and things took a little longer to reach Iowa and, I guess, Wisconsin than they do in some of the other more urban places we live now. And, you know, there weren't the status things then that there are now, and you know, we didn't all have to have the hottest new electronics because there really weren't electronics back then. So our lives were a lot slower. But I have to say, yeah, we did do a little mean girl thing, and it is in the book. And Sally has been really wonderful about it. And she's actually, you know, it was one of those things where some of us just felt that, you know, maybe she wasn't cool enough for us, or she didn't dress the right way or act the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't handle it as well as we should. We handled it like, you know, 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds, I guess, would do. But she has used that as a teaching tool. She's a fifth-grade teacher, and she uses it, you know, as a life experience to teach her children, her daughter. She has two teenage daughters, you know, how to treat their friends. So, you know.
Good came out of it.
Good came out of it. And she's the only one who still is in Iowa, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she's
driver?
Up in Spirit Lake.
Huh. We're going to welcome phone. Oh, my gosh. The time is getting away here. We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655. And our guests this hour are Jeffrey Zaslow, who is the author of The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship, also author of the highly acclaimed The Last Lecture. Many of you may have read that. And we're also talking with two of the women who are featured in this group, two friends for many, many years. They're in their mid-40s now. And the book looks at a group of Ames High School girls, class of 1981, and looks at the bonds that they have with each other that have lasted, well, it's obvious it's going to last for a lifetime now, but have lasted for so many years. We'll be with you in a moment. If you'd like to send an email, you can do that, talk@wpr.org. Jenny Lichman is also with us, and Angela Jameson, two of the friends who are featured in this book. And maybe some of you have had a chance to read it. That would be great to talk to you. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now, and Reed from Madison, our first caller. Hi, Reed.
Good morning.
Hello.
I called to kind of disagree with the author, but I'm 20 years older, so that may make a difference. I attended my 40th or so high school reunion a short while back, and found out while I was away most of those years, a lot of the guys and I did connect eye to eye and didn't only have to connect side by side. So I wonder if, and I would disagree with him too, that there's not a book about guys and guy friendships out there. I wholeheartedly think there is. So I would encourage further discussion of that on the show today amongst all of you all, and kind of try to ferret out what might be included based on what came out in the research that was done for this book. I've only been able to hear pieces of the discussion so far, but it's fascinating. And as I said, I'm convinced there's a book out there about the same thing for guys.
Yeah, but the
Again,
thing is,
it may be for us who are 20 years older, not in our
right.
40s, not in our 40s, but
there is
around 60 or so.
There is something about the fact that this book is way up on the New York Times bestseller list, though. There's something about that, and I don't know if it's a primarily female audience, but it is really captivated, I would think, a lot of women in this country.
Yeah, you know, Kathleen, I think there could absolutely be a beautiful book in male friendship. I just don't think men would run to buy it, or that publishers would run to publish it. That's what I was saying. I mean, I'm sure there's beautiful friendship stories out there to be
sure.
told.
Oh, yeah. And what's the story? Oh, I can't remember the names of books I've read. And one of my favorite about male friendship, the two Orthodox – it's an older book, the two Orthodox students who
Chosen, is that
the Chosen. What a gorgeous book that is.
Yeah, sure.
That's a book about a deep friendship. Deep, deep friendship. Thanks, Reed, very much for the call. Well, everybody chime in on this. What do you think? Jenny, Angela?
I would, I know I've got some friends who, male friends, who also have good male friends. I just think that, personally, I think it's a more rare experience than women, and I'm hearing that the people that I work with and my neighbors and my friends who are reading this book, it just every single one of them has a similar story of deep friendships that they have. And I just don't think it's as universal with men. That's all I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We just got an email from a gentleman who was in his 60s and said, I won't read the book, but boy, those girls from Ames are hot. We all laugh.
Did I send that one to you? Yeah, I sent that one to you.
That was my favorite fan email.
Yeah. You know what? I've heard that more than once, actually. In fact, I was on a radio show, I forget where they host, the male hosts were going on and on about that. So
that makes you feel good, ladies, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's there are good years ahead. What about the fact that all of this, there's something in me, because I'm a big fan of the Midwest and I grew up in the Midwest as well, but there's something about Ames, Iowa that maybe the book has its special flavor because of Ames, that it informs their lives perhaps in ways, and we've touched on this, that would be very different if the book were about San Francisco or Chicago. There's something about this location. And the values, I think, Midwestern values, Jeffrey.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I fell in love with Ames, and not only did I fall in love with Ames, I envy how people from Ames love it. I mean, you go there, and it's not necessarily much to look at. And all the, you know, it's got an old downtown, but it's just got the values, and it's a college town. I mean, Angela and Jenny can tell you that it's a high IQ town, and it's sort of fun thing. I grew up in Philly, but they've got all these scenes, all these things that happen in cornfields, which I thought was interesting. just fun stuff, parties, and I just love the whole scene of it. There was a time, though, unlike New York women who might have been big spillers of their whole lives, none of the Ames girls were, they're not looking to be famous, and they weren't looking to give me their whole lives. So at one point I thought, well, maybe I should have picked a bunch of women from San Francisco or something.
What do you think, Jenny and Angela? Did the town inform your lives in many ways?
Oh, I do think so. And this is partially what I was saying earlier about we had just a slower pace. And I don't know if that was because it was a different time or because it was a different time and a different place. But, you know, our kind of fun was different than if we lived in a big city. You know, we didn't have... Our culture was the cornfield. being in an Iowa town was wonderful because it added a whole other dimension of things to do. And people in Iowa are very literate. We're very smart. Everybody, certainly there's a high element of intelligence there. So we did do other things. We did go to concerts and art exhibits at the university.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I think, separate from the university, we were just small-town kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love Ames. When people ask where we're from, even though we're all spread out across the country, we don't really say, I'm from Annapolis or I'm from Maryland. I'm from Iowa. I'm from Ames. And we all still say that.
Right. And there were a lot of university connections among parents in your group, right, which makes a difference in terms of there's an interesting story about one of the young women being adopted and the placement wanted double-educated mom and dad to be parents. There was a lot of respect for learning, and I would think a different atmosphere. You want to touch on that a little bit, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I was just impressed. You know, I went back to Ames a few times to meet the parents, and I mean, and I've talked to siblings. Everybody is so articulate, including the 10 Ames girls. I mean, I'm just so floored during all my hours of interviewing them, and then just seeing them since the book came out. You know, Angela, towards the end of the book, you find out that, I mean, Angela is now dealing with breast cancer, and I mean, she has talked about the support of the other girls, and I would love for her to talk about that, but just in terms of the way she tells the story, it's moving and it's funny and it's special. And Angela, you want to take it away with that? Or?
I'd be happy to. Well, it's just really one of the studies that Jeff mentions in the book is a Stanford University study that found that women with advanced stages of breast cancer were more likely to survive if they had a network of people with whom they could share their feelings. And you know, the girls from Ames have been my network, and I believe that this finding is true. Jenny has been down here to visit me when I was going through all my treatments a few times. Carla came in from Montana. Mm. Kelly came down. Both Kelly and Jenny came down a few weeks after I started my chemo treatment. And Kelly is a breast cancer survivor herself. About 2 years ago, she went through chemo, pretty much the same treatments that I did, and she's been a great inspiration. But she brought her shears. They wanted to shave my head because they said it's going to be traumatic when you lose your hair, and let's just make it a fun kind of thing to do. And so they came down to visit, and we pulled out the shears. My 9-year-old daughter, who the first thing she said when we told her about my cancer was, "Mom, you're going to lose all your hair." And so we had her first, you know, cut my hair, and then Kelly was supposed to shave it, but she had my husband do that. And we tape recorded it, or we video recorded it, and we took photos, and it just was very special. And the thing is, Kelly kept on emailing me because my hair wasn't falling out after that. And it's like, should we have done this?
Oh, no. We shaved her head.
8 weeks later, and it did finally fall out.
Oh.
And anyway, they've just been a wonderful support. And I really credit, you know, remaining positive and upbeat about it was from really all the support I got from my friends.
Right.
And it's been great. So that's really been something that has gotten me through this.
And how are you now? How are you feeling?
I'm great. I had a mastectomy a month ago, and I'm starting radiation next week. I've got 6 weeks of radiation, and my biopsy reports after surgery showed that they got the chemo worked, and there really wasn't. I had some lymph nodes removed, and there wasn't. There was a little bit of cancer in the ones that they removed, but not a lot. So the prognosis has been great, and I'm just planning on living life to the fullest and moving on from all of this.
You sound so strong. It was only a month ago you had surgery. You sound great.
She has the best attitude of anybody. If you could get through cancer on attitude, Angela would do it. And she's just got the most incredible attitude, and she's got a great support system in North Carolina as well. Her neighbors, her husband is fantastic, his family. You know, her attitude. Angela, you're just such an inspiration to us all, but we tell you that all the time.
It's okay. Keep saying it. Let's take more phone calls. Connie is next from Portage. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I think I'm going to get that book. It sounds great. I have lots of friends from high school yet, and I have a friend from college that we keep in contact all the time. I'm 70 years old, and she's been up to see me twice. I haven't been down there, and she gets mad at me about that. But then I have a friend from high school that's in the state of Washington, and we keep up. And then we all get together. We had a 50th class reunion, and so it's just a good group. But we were from a small town in Illinois, and we had, like, in the days of a fondue, you know, and all that. We had slumber parties, and you'd be running around in the little small town in your little pajamas and thinking we were doing the most horrible thing in the world. You know, we just had a great time, and we're still all good friends. And I wanted to tell the one gal who had cancer, I have a sister who's had cancer 4 times. But her attitude is amazing, and she just keeps trucking along and pretends like it never happened. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And that's really all I had to say.
Oh, yeah, don't go away. I'm sure people want to talk to you. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'm thrilled to hear about your friendships. And, you know, and we've been, since the book came out about 6 weeks ago, we've just been hearing so many wonderful stories from people, you know, even from people in their 80s who have 75-year-old friendships, yeah, which is pretty amazing. Mm.
Isn't that something?
I was going to say, you can go to the girlsfromames.com website and share your stories. I've enjoyed going there. There's the place on that website, not just to sell the book, but to hear from other people, too, who might have stories about friendships.
Yeah, they're great there. I mean, every day more people are writing there. It's great.
Girlsfromames.com.
I would do that, but I don't have a computer. I'm too busy. I'm playing euchre. I'm doing all these things, and I just don't have time for that. I read a lot. And my children want me to because that's an easy way to email, and I still want to hear their voice, so I won't do it.
Better to play euchre and call your kids.
Yeah. You can have such richer friendships through email as well, because sometimes, you know, you just don't have time to talk, or it's too late. It's 3 a.m, and you want your friend to know
that's
you're thinking
right
of them. You don't want to wake them up on the phone, but you can still email them.
That's right, and you've got that reply to all feature, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks, Connie, so much for your call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's spend a little time on some of the difficult stories in the book. I'm wondering if anybody knows what happened to Sheila.
Well, you know, that was interesting because when I first started working on the book, the other Ames girls missed her every day. Jenny, especially, I know you, it's been hard. But they weren't in close touch with Sheila's family, and they weren't sure how they would feel about the book. And about 6 months into the reporting of the book, I went down to Kansas City where her family lives, and Sheila had died at age 22. She'd been at a party, and she was on a balcony, and she fell. Was the story, and it wasn't clear how it all happened. And in the book, we sort of explain a little bit what happened. It was basically just an accident. But Jenny, why don't you talk about the scholarship that you've set up in Sheila's memory at Ames High?
Well, as Jeff said, you know, Sheila did. We lost her when she was 22. When we were all 22, but we still consider ourselves a group of 11. Even though there are 10 of us remaining. And one of the ways, when we started this project, we had just hoped, no matter what happened with sales of the book, how well it sold, if anybody even bought it, we didn't care. We wanted a chronicle of our friendship. And all of us who have children, 9 of the 10 of us have children, and we all have girls, at least one girl. So we thought it would be a really nice thing to pass along to our daughters, a chronicle of their mother's friendship. And then, as we realized that people actually might buy this book, we thought that a wonderful way to honor Sheila's memory would be to set up a scholarship fund in her name. So part of the proceeds of the sale of this book will go to the Sheila Walsh Memorial Scholarship at Ames High. And the criteria will be, the main thing will be that this person that gets the scholarship is a good friend. And one of the things that has to be submitted in the application is two nominations from this person's girlfriends saying why she's such a good friend and why she deserves a scholarship based on friendship.
Oh, that's wonderful. And little did you know that this book was going to take off the way that it is, right?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. We had no idea.
Well,
and I
hope.
Tell people to be careful who you send an email to. You never know what might happen.
You hoped it would, Jeffrey, but wow.
Well, in between, you know, I was writing the book, and then in between, I stopped for about 6 months to write the last lecture with Randy Pausch. He was dying, and that was had to be done very quickly. And that book, obviously, you know, that did it's bittersweet, but it did very well. And then I came back to Ames, and you know, it's wonderful that people are taking to the Ames book also.
Mm-hmm. The other stories, it's interesting how life works. And you're a heck of a writer, Jeffrey, too, which is I mean, the stories are wonderful, but the way you weave them makes it a compelling story. Marilyn's story in her family, I can still see her father after the way that you've written about him. And the fact that she's alive and the truck driver later on, it's who wants to tell that story?
I can tell it briefly, I guess. Yeah, Marilyn is I mean, I've done the girls a disservice because I've pigeonholed everybody. I've given everybody I've described them and say that's who they are. But it's easier for people reading the book. Marilyn's a little more square than some of the others, and she said in high school she was more reticent to be wild. And so I asked her why, and she said she didn't want to disappoint her parents. And I asked why, and she said because I was wanted so badly before I was born. And I said, well, explain that. And she said her brother had died in an accident at age 7 in a car accident. Although the family was driving and the 7-year-old died. This is before she was born. Her father had had a vasectomy, but they were a grieving family and wanted more kids. And so her father, this is 1961, tried to have the vasectomy reversed and tried, and it happened. And Marilyn was born. So she was brought into the world to sort of bring life into this grieving family that had just suffered a death. And so that informed the woman and the girl she became in the friendship, and I think the woman she is today. And so I told that story in the book, and her dad was a beloved pediatrician in town, and many of the Ames girls went to him. And so he's not exactly in the he's not one of the 11 girls, but I sort of fell for him when I was collecting everybody's stories. And and actually Jenny's father is a huge he's a best supporting actor in the book, because maybe Jenny can tell that story.
Sure.
Early, and it's the end of the first chapter. Jenny's about to leave for college.
My dad and I are both night owls, and we would stay up late and sit on the front porch in the dark and talk. And I was just about to leave for college, and I was a little melancholy. I was excited about the next phase of my life, but I just didn't want to leave my girlfriend. And we were just talking about friends and life, and you know, a lot of people say your college friends are your friends for life, and I was saying no, it's my high school friends. And my dad said, well, he's in insurance, and so he was thinking of the actuarial tables. And just statistically speaking, he said, you know, honey, just statistically, you know, at least one of you will die. Probably two of you will be divorced. One of you will probably just choose to leave the friendship. And I said, oh, no, none of that could be true. You've got it all wrong. Well, he was right about every single thing he said, except for the fact that one of us would choose to leave the group. We have not done that. So all predictions were true, except luckily that one.
Right. Let's pause for a moment, return and welcome more phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We're also going to play a snippet of a song that I understand from the book that everybody danced to. So we'll talk about the significance of this song, too. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We're talking this hour of the program with Jeffrey Zaslow, who's the co-author, along with all of the young women, actually, who are in this book, of The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship. 800-486-8655 is the number. The email is talk@wpr.org. And everybody's mentioned, a lot of you do have computers, if you want to tell your story, too, or learn more about the Ames girls, you can go to their website. It's girlsfromames.com, girlsfromames, and Ames is A-M-E-S, that's all together, .com. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship. I just played a little bit of that because I understand that the women featured in this book used to dance to that together back when they were in their high school days. Is that right, ladies?
Yes.
Yep, late.
Yeah. It was kind of fun to hear some of that again. That's a good song to dance to. We're speaking with two of the women featured in this, and actually the book came about because Jenny Litchman wrote a an email to Jeffrey Zaslow as a result of a column he wrote for the Wall Street Journal on women's friendships. And as a result, he was intrigued and several years later dug out that email and has done this wonderful book that's way up on the New York Times bestseller list, The Story of Women in a 40-Year Friendship. They're from Ames, Iowa. They're now in their mid-40s. And we go back to phone calls. Let's go to Rita is next from Middleton. Hello, Rita.
Hi, how are you, Kathleen?
Fine, Rita. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm just enjoying this show so much, and I'm thinking it's another great reason why we should support public radio. The guests are great. I know they're all on air right now. I was in my car listening to the show when I came home, and I'm racing up the driveway and fumbling with the radio when I got in the house, and was glad to get the station on. And I guess my only comment is when there's just something so special about female friendships with women, just they know what to do for each other.
Yes.
You know, there's no, you don't need the direction. They just know instinctively what to do. And, you know, I think of the book Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus, and there's a lot of truth about that. And I did like that one of the women pointed out that, you know, men don't hold grudges, and that's something that they have taught us. And I think, you know, my own husband has learned through my friendship with my female friends how different we are, and is more sensitive to the fact that, you know, we support each other so well. And I just, you know, I thank you for the book, Jeff, and I think it's great that a man wrote the book. And,
well, I know, it's great,
but all I had was
being a man, so I did it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think sales are up now. They're going to go way up if people are listening to the program, because I am going out and buying it for my friends and telling our local book club about it, and I know it's going
to be perfect for a book club.
Yeah, we've been hearing from a book club. Actually, I talked to a book club in Arkansas the other night, and they had great questions. I enjoyed it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's wonderful.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for all the women for everything they shared, and I can't wait to read it.
Thanks.
Yeah,
all right, bye-bye.
Thanks very much for the call. Patricia is next from Maple. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, I just thought I'd call in. I grew up in Marshalltown, Iowa, and a group of us have been together for 60 years.
Oh, wow.
And not to top the Ames people, but we've always been rivals with Ames, as I recall, in high school days.
There's something in the book about that, too,
yes,
by the way.
Pardon me?
There's something in the book about our rivalry with Marshalltown.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah. Well, I just thought I would call, because when I saw the book come out, I thought, hey, that could have been us. So, anyway, it's good to know that there are groups of people, maybe even more than we think, who've kept in touch for that long a time. This group is called the Nifty Fifties, and they're pretty well scattered around the country, and one by one we're losing them, but it's been a great thing to know that you guys are over there doing that, too.
Well, you're the next book, the Nifty Fifties. We'll try
all
to
right.
get that done.
So what were you calling your 40s and your 30s and your 20s?
Hello?
Is Patricia?
Yes.
If you're the Nifty 50s now, what were you when you were in your 40s or your 30s?
Well, because we graduated in 1955, that's why we called ourselves the Nifty 50s. So. But we'll always be 20 years old, I think. So it was a great time of life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks so much for the call. Jackie is next from Stockton, Illinois. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. What a wonderful book. I just wanted to lift up there, just for your information, there is a number of books out on men's friendship. One particularly good series about men in general and male friendships is by Tom Owen Towle called Brother Spirit, Men Joining Together in the Quest for Intimacy and Ultimacy. So that's one thing I wanted to lift up, Tom Owen Towle's work. And also Bill Koff back in the from Milwaukee, Kathleen, back in the 70s, got a federal grant to help foster men's friendships. And he's still around kicking up in northern Wisconsin. He might be an interesting person to talk about and see what he's been doing since then. He wrote some really seminal books on men's friendships and how to come together.
I'm sorry, I missed the name, Jackie.
Bill Koff, K-A-U.
Oh, sure, I remember Bill.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to share is, out of Bill Koff's work, too, in the 70s, lo and behold, the federal government did give money out to help foster relationships and community with people. And Bill gave me and another woman a series of telephone numbers of women who were professional women looking for support for each other because they were in fields where there weren't many women, professors, social workers in unique fields. And so we put together a women's support group that today is still going, although I'm not involved in it, I know they're still going on, and that was 1976. So it's a different kind of friendship, but they've been together a long time, and when I do get to see them, it's just amazing how much they still love each other, and they still connect in all kinds of ways to all kinds of issues in their lives, too. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to list up those kinds of things. Though it wasn't in high school, it was, you know, women in their late 20s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship. So, and that's
well, thanks for all that. Thanks for all that, that suggestion there. It's great.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. So what have you been able to bring to your male friendships as a result of this book, Jeffrey? Anything? Are they deepening, do you think?
No.
No.
I do not think so. No. I envy the Ames girls, and I so appreciate all the emails I'm getting from women about their friendships. I just, honestly, I'm just not as comfortable. I'm a regular guy in that way, I guess. I do have a male friend who says I love you at the end of every phone call, and it gives me the willies a little bit. I don't even like him anymore. Yes. But I have learned things that I think will be helpful to my daughters, that's for sure. I have good friends, and I do share things with my friends, but this sort of deep, loving thing that the Ames girls have, I don't know that I could ever reach that.
Oh. Do you wish you'd been born female?
No.
So, no. I don't know.
I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be born a boy. Oh, yeah.
I did, too. I wanted to play professional football when I grew up.
Did you really?
You were a little bit of a tomboy, I know, so... Huh. Yeah, I never wanted to wear dresses or wear makeup, so I don't know what to tell you guys.
But I do,
I live with women I do have a sense of women, I do, and I'm grateful for it.
Uh-huh. Nancy from Elm Grove, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment because I'm enjoying your program so very much, and I'm a longtime listener. I graduated from college, and when I was in college, I just lost my mother due to ovarian cancer, and yeah. It took about 3 years before I decided to try to join a sorority. I did join, and I want to say that we still get together today to this day. There were about 8 of us, and we read every first Monday of the month in the evening. We brought our babies if they were very young, and we just talked until maybe midnight and then drove home, and we were scattered all over the Milwaukee area, outskirts as far north of Oconomowoc. And then as the years went on, raising children, 3 of the gals divorced and 3 of us stayed married. And we continued to get together with one friend up in every summer in Rhinelander at her home on the lake. And we continued that over all the years. Now she isn't doing as well health-wise. But we still get together if we can, and we just got together last week in Lodi, Wisconsin, with one of the gals who retired there. And it's just wonderful to have this friendship, to know these gals for all these years. And I just wanted to comment that it's a wonderful program. I'm also in the process of getting together some of the other sorority gals that live in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area. And there are 8 of us that have decided to get together twice a year just to renew our friendships. And to stay in touch with one another. So I think staying in touch with one another, going through illness, we're all going through some serious illnesses now. I am a cancer survivor of 11 years. And it's wonderful to have these friends and these people that stay with you all this time. That's mm-hmm. my comment.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much. Jenny, Angela, you want to comment?
I think she's just is a perfect example of the kind of comments that we all get from these books. You know, people, when they read the books, they don't want to talk to me about my friends who are in the book. They want to talk about their own friends, and that's what I love hearing. And it's just so empowering to have these friendships and to hear that so many people do. And those are the kind of stories that I love to hear.
Mm-hmm. But there's also something about, and Jeffrey, the congratulations go to you in large measure for weaving a book. It's about women's friendships, but it's also about, I mean, it's a poignant and important slice of Americana. It's about life, right?
Yeah, well, it's about a time and a place,
right?
And people who matter to each other. It's life, yeah.
Right, yeah. And tragedy and happiness.
Yeah, tragedy
that.
Too. I think they're bonded for life. Carla lost a daughter, which we talk about in the book at mm-hmm. great length, and I know they're bonded for life from that experience. All the women And it was wonderful for them to share it with others because it's touching people. So.
Right. Yeah, it sure is.
You know, Jeff could have written this story about so many groups of friends. We are everyone. There's nothing special about us.
I would say that. You are special. That's why I picked you. But you're one of a kind and you're every woman at the same time, sort of.
Right.
Well, I hate to say goodbye, but...
Well, you can join our friendship, Kathleen. You're in.
I'm in?
Yeah, sure. It's that easy.
An hour
on the radio and you're one of the Ames girls.
Oh, and I've thought about my friendships. God bless my friends. Oh, my. Thankful for them.
See, you should do more shows on friendships, Kathleen. There's such a need for that out there. You know, you can't count on the economy. You can't count maybe on your job, but you can count on your friends.
You're right. On that note, we'll say goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us on. Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The book is The Girls from Ames, A Story of Women and a 40-Year Friendship. And it's a very deep read, actually. We had some fun with this, but it's about life. Jeffrey Zaslow is the author, Zaslow. He's also the author of The Last Lecture, and he's such a writer. I'd like to read that. I haven't read it yet. He's a Wall Street Journal columnist, and we thank everybody for being with us. Jenny Lichman, one of the women featured in the book, and also Angela Jameson, two of the 11 friends who are from Ames and featured in this book. Now number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. We didn't know it was going to go that far when it caught our attention. Caught a lot of people's attention. Thanks, Rhonda Fanny, for producing the hour. Thanks to Rob Schroeder for on-air production. And thanks for your calls. This is the Ideas Network.